Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is On Track with Henrietta Burge. She'll be with us momentarily. This is Glenn Greenidge starting off the show for you tonight. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. As I said, On Track. And we're going to start off with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we're responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Today's date is April 12th, 2009, and all over the world. So with that, I'd like to begin some of the conversations tonight. The discussion is men's health. And what we're looking at is what is it that that older men can share with younger men? So that's the topic. This is actually a continuation of last Sunday's On Track show, where we started the conversation around taking care of your well-being, your colon. We talked a little bit about the spiritual. We talked about exercise. We talked about eating properly, and so today's show is really going to be about what kinds of things can we recommend to younger men. My name is Glenn Greenidge. I'm a Reiki master. I'm 53 years old, and one of the things that I can say is that if I were advising someone or had to do it differently, one of the things that I would have looked to do differently would have been to, in my middle years, between 30 and 45, I would say that in that time frame, one of the things that I would have done differently would have been to exercise a little bit better. Certainly would have looked to eat better as well. But let's start out, let's keep that focus on exercising better. So one of the things that I noticed and I have done over the years is I've allowed my job and my vocation to replace some of the exercise and some of the ability to exercise my body. So I know that I've had some sedentary jobs and haven't been able to get out and to do the kinds of exercising that I would have liked to have done. So that's an area that I look back and I would recommend to any young people to make sure that you keep up your exercise. I know one of the things for me, you tend to forget exercise or you tend to drop exercise out. And it's one of the most important aspects of especially cardiovascular. That was something that was always very important to me. I did do a lot of running and did get conscious of it a little later in my career, but I wonder what life would have been had I been able to do even more cardiovascular type training and keeping my body fit. So that's certainly one of the aspects of this conversation. The other thing that I want to talk about is eating. And, you know, one of the things we talked a little bit about last week, and I want to kind of continue the conversation, is that we have, when I look for myself, when I look at my eating habits when I was young, I'd say in the last 10 years I've been more conscious of my eating. But prior to that, I ate what I enjoyed. Didn't have much attention on cholesterol and fatty and fried foods and so on and so forth. I noticed that I was consciously not ignoring, but you know, my conversation, because I felt like I was invincible, was that I'm going to go with a smile on my face, so I'm going to eat whatever I need to eat. Now, one of the things that I can reflect on and think about is my father, bless his soul, died at 69, and he was very much a meat eater. He liked his steak. He liked steaks a couple times a week, pretty much on a regular basis, at least once a week. Now, one of the things, you know, again, I'm not a scientist. I can't, you know, say for sure, but one of the things that I noticed about my dad was that he was the first one in our family to actually die of cancer. So he actually got cancer, was in remission for about 5 or 6 years. I think it was actually about 7 or 8 years, actually, and then ended up dying of cancer. Now, one of the things that I attribute that to is the beef that he was eating. One of the things that I've cut back on the meat eating, well, especially when I think about is since we had mad cow. So we've had mad cow disease, and which, as far as I'm concerned, is directly related to not to feeding vegetarians meat, and their body can't process that meat, and therefore fouls up their system, and that's the meat that goes into our system. So, you know, again, this is Glenn Greenwich speaking. This is not based on any information, just based on my personal knowledge and what I think to be true. So that's what I'm speaking from. And so those are areas that I've noticed that I've cut down my beef consumption because of that. Now, the other aspect of eating that people talk about is be careful how much pork that you eat, because, again, we were talking about the colon last week, and we're talking about the kinds of things that impact the colon, and certainly pork is one of the things that people stay, you know, say to stay away from. Now, I was reading something that was kind of interesting. I was reading something the other day, and they were actually talking about chicken, and chicken in its natural state ends up eating a lot of garbage, a lot of things on the side of the road. Even feces. Now, and that's in a normal setting. So I was reading an article from the from Nation of Islam, and they were actually talking about not eating not eating chicken because of where it comes from. So I thought that was kind of interesting as well. So certainly eating is one of the things that we want to be conscious of, and certainly want to be able to be aware of when we're looking at taking care of our health. And okay, good. We've got a caller, 312. Go ahead, please. Caller, area code 312, you're on the air. So anyway, we've talked a little bit about beef, we talked about pork, we talked about chicken as well. Now I'm not a vegan per se, but one of the things for us to look at is in terms of the kinds of foods, fresh foods that we eat, uncooked raw food, vegetables, lettuce, any kind of roughage that would actually help to clean our system out. So that's something that again, when I look back at my eating habits, I would say that I didn't pay much attention to salads and including salads. And not like I only have to eat just salad, but I could actually eat salads with my meals so that I would be ensuring. So maybe I'd be cutting down some of the starch and actually including the roughage in my daily dose. Go ahead. We've got area code 312. You're on the air. Okay. Still got someone out there. Okay. Well, area code 312-593. You can call anytime you get it. You can speak anytime. Your mic is live. The other thing that we talked about that I want to talk a little bit about is there are a lot of different conversations around diet and energy. Go ahead, 312. You're live.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Henrietta?
Great.
Good. I'm just having a conversation around foods, and actually specifically talking about beef, pork, and even an article I read from the Nation of Islam around chicken. You know, and how that the chicken, free-range chicken, you have to be careful with, because what a chicken will eat anything, including feces. So one of the things that as everyone is on this organic kick, you have to also make sure, well, what is really organic and what is not. One of the things that I find that happens to be a stress relief, as well as a fun thing for me to do, is actually to have my own garden in the summertime. So I actually enjoy growing my own foods organically, and I have a pretty wide variety of things that I actually can grow in my own backyard here in New York City. So I'm actually able to do tomatoes, lettuce, peppers, green peppers, hot peppers, jalapenos. I have raspberries, strawberries, and I've grown celery, and different kinds of lettuce as well. So I've been able to do some things that have been able to keep me focused on being conscious. So those are some of the things that I do for myself in terms of eating. Kind of that with the exercise. So any particular questions for you, Henrietta? we've I got lost. Not sure.
Sorry about that. The phone is doing wonderful things this evening.
Okay, it's going in and out on you. Okay.
Yeah.
You.
Right. But I was listening to it, and I've talked to people who, are doing gardens this year. You know, this summer. That's what they're doing. They're doing gardens. Even I noticed when you go to a grocery store, you still have these organic, non-organic choices to make, even if it's a produce store.
Right.
You know, and we probably need to have someone on the show to talk about that, you know, because I go to a produce store here in Chicago, and it's huge, and half of it is organic and half of it is not.
Okay.
And it's interesting because the produce that is not organic looks so much better than the produce that is, you know, and it's probably, you know, for all the reasons that they say, you know, that they shine it up and they spray it up and they do things to make it, you know, look a certain way. I don't really know. I just know whenever I look on both sides, I'm like, why is there such a difference in the way, you know, in the way the fruit looks and the vegetables too.
Well, you know, somebody mentioned it to me, and I'm not even sure if it's true or not, but they said stuff like Miracle-Gro has these enhanced growing agents and hormones and different additives, and if you're using that, that would not be considered organic. That pure organic would be just manure. So you put down some general manure. And one of the things that I like to add in my garden is I actually do some limestone every other year. I also put eggshells. So I put the eggshells and mix them into the ground so that and that's my attempt to really replenish what I'm taking out of the soil. That's a way of ensuring some additional attributes to the soil for organic.
Okay. I think we have some callers that are on.
Yeah, we have an additional caller. Let me activate you.
The Tonight Show, we were thinking about, you know, a part two of last week when we talked about men's health. And, you know, we talked about a lot of things last week. But one of the things we came up with at the end of that show was if I knew then what I know now about health and taking care of my body and what it is that I would like my son or my daughter to know, that I might not have paid attention to. And so since our focus is men this week, I wanted to kind of listen to Donald. Remember Donald from last week, Glenn?
Sure.
He's here again, and his son and some of his son's friends are online with us tonight. And so we wanted to talk about some of the things that you learned, Glenn, that Donald learned, and there's a Donald Sr. and a Donald Jr. online tonight, that they would like to pass on. You know, men talking to men, with the exception of Henrietta. But just, you know, some of the things. So let's see who else is on the line.
Yeah, 773-241. Go ahead, you're on the air.
That's one of the Donalds.
Oh, they just left the call. They just left the
call.
Oh,
they did. Okay. But some of the things that we talk about, just like we're having this conversation about organic versus inorganic fruit and vegetable.
That's one of the things that I, if I had known or understood, I would have been doing organic a lot sooner than later. I think that in the last 10 years or so, organic became in my consciousness. And so one of the things that I did for the summers, I was looking to actually eat as much things from my garden, because then I can control all the additives. And that's something that I didn't consider as a young man, the additives and the things that were being put into our food. You know, the U.S., the FDA approves things and approves products, and we, the public, don't even know some of the changes and some of the genetic things that they're doing to impact our food. So, again, that's something that that I've only been aware of in the last 10 years. And, you know, I would have, you know, at 43, so, I would have loved to have been aware of that and conscious of that as a 20-year-old. 773-241, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing?
Hi. Who's this?
This is Dorian.
Oh, hi, Dorian. Dorian, this is Glenn is the other host that's on that I'm in the conversation with, and Dorian, just kind of bring Glenn up to speed as far as what you do, like if you don't mind telling us how old you are and what you do health wise to take care of your body.
Okay. Well, how you doing, Glenn?
Great.
Well, just to start off, my background, I'm a personal trainer. I've been a personal trainer for a little over 8 years, actually a little bit longer than that.
He's on the radio.
So just recently, I would say in the past 5 weeks, I do a 3-day cleanse. You eat nothing but just raw vegetables, fruit, raw nuts. And also I'm on a regular workout regimen where I work at a minimum of 3 to 4 days a week.
Now, of that workout, how much would you say is cardiovascular as opposed to the other kind of workouts?
My workout for myself, I apply at least 30 minutes of cardiovascular workout for myself. Top of a cardiovascular-based workout. It consists of plyometric workout as well as strength training and core conditioning.
Okay.
Hello, Glenn?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay, I'm sorry. You got a lot of right now. My end. So, yeah, and that's actually the same type of workout that I apply with majority of my clients, whereas we start off with a nice warm-up, go through some type of warm-up as far as calisthenics, then we go into weight training, and we finish with a cool-down, which is a cardio-based workout.
Excellent. And how long have you been doing these cleanses and stuff?
Well, I just started. This is actually going into my 6th week, whereas we do a cleanse, and I do it more so for discipline, just to control myself as far as certain urges and certain foods that I would want to eat. I figure if I can control those urges and eat healthier, cleanse my system, that, you know, one, I can lose weight, I won't have that indulgence to, because I do have a sweet tooth, and I know a lot of people kind of indulge in sweets. If I can just control those urges, then that my health-wise would actually improve, and so far it has. The first 4 weeks, I've lost over 20 pounds by doing this raw diet. I modify what I eat now on the other 4 days, but for the most part, my diet doesn't change as much.
Okay.
That's interesting. That's really, really interesting. And how old are you?
37.
37. And you said you've been training for the last 8 years.
Yes.
And you've been cleansing for just, you just started to cleanse that procedure this year?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay. Now, let me, okay, so you're 30 what?
37.
37, okay. And so would you recommend what you're doing for, you know, college students or people, guys that are right out of college?
Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, I wish I would have known this type of regimen earlier in life. I think I would be a lot further ahead. I mean, I don't have any ailments now, but just knowing the benefits of it and how I actually feel, because I used to play football, and being a football player, you have to put on weight. You have to eat kind of crazy. You train hard, but it's also taxing on your body. So now that I stopped playing football and I've changed my diet and working out, I notice a huge difference. I actually kind of, if you want to say I feel 10 years younger, I do feel pretty young doing this now.
Okay. And let me see, is it the cleanse that you're doing, do you recommend, how often do you recommend that people do it?
Well, the cleanse is to kind of coincide with the raw diet. I do an herbal cleanse, which kind of just helps break up all of the toxins in my body. Now, it kind of varies. You should do some type. If you don't have a regular BM, then of course you should do some type of cleanse on a daily basis. But if you are fairly regular, then you should probably, you know, twice a week, three times a week, whatever natural for yourself.
Okay, so Dorian, are you of the belief that the ailments come from like irregular bowel movements or just all the toxins that are in your body kind of collecting in areas? Is that, you know, kind of tell me why you think the cleanse is beneficial other than it cleanses you. But, I mean, you said if you had known it earlier, you would have done it, you know, than before. You said you'd be a little further ahead. And in what way? You would be further ahead in which way?
Well, health-wise, because obviously the way they process food, how they mass-produce chicken and so forth, they inject steroids and other chemicals in the processes. It's not like 20 years ago when things were a little more natural and a little healthier. So just on that side alone, you run the risk of different side effects. And then, of course, you don't eliminate everything that you consume in the first place. So taking that all in consideration, you have years of backed up waste in your system that is just sitting, and it leaves, you know, very slow. So by going through a normal cleanse, by consuming, you know, more roughage in your diet and pushing, eliminating that waste, it benefits. It runs the risk of you know, colon cancer and just other ailments that one may get.
That's interesting, especially coming from someone in their 30s. That's really, really interesting. And so you said you're a trainer, and so for, let's say, someone 30, 40 years older than you, would you recommend, if, you know, somebody who's who has a particular condition, let's say, would you recommend, and I know you recommend that they follow their doctor's orders, but would you recommend that they do raw if, you know, if it's okay with their doctors? Would you recommend exercise? I know you recommend exercise, but I guess what I'm asking is, would you recommend what you're doing for an older person as well as for a younger person?
One, a couple things to understand when you do the raw. When you do it, you automatically know, you know, each daily serving, you're required to have so many carbohydrates, so many proteins, and so many fats. So when you're doing a raw, you're really eliminating so many of the things that you need on a daily basis. So So, yes, you would need to consult a doctor, and you also have to understand, but you have to understand your body as well. When you need certain things, you need to go ahead and replace it. So, of course, by eating raw nuts and raw vegetables, you are consuming a certain amount of protein and carbs and fats. But getting medical clearance and advice is the key thing there. But someone older, yes, I would definitely encourage them to at least start some type of regimen. It may not be 3 days to start off with, 3 days, but even if you start off with once a week, just doing a raw cleanse, yes, that would definitely help as far as with your dietary supplements or dietary needs.
Okay, that's great. I mean, that's really interesting because more and more we hear of men, you know, changing their lifestyle. You know, everybody is kind of listening now as far as drinking water versus pop, and even water versus juice. You know, walking seems to be the exercise of choice. You know, in Chicago, you see more people walking now than ever before, and then exercise. So, like Dorian, are there any other, you know, like exercises or, you know, any other recommendations that you have? And if there's something you recommend for people in their 20s versus people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, like that, is it the same or is there a difference in what you would recommend as a trainer if everything is clear with the doctor?
I think what I would recommend, especially someone in their 20s, just starting out, I would strongly encourage them not to eat so much fast food, kind of prepare your own meals on a regular basis, because, again, with the processing and the preparation of the food, you really don't know what you're getting. So it's doing more of a hindrance than helping by constantly eating out. That way, at least, if you're at home preparing your own meals, you're in more control as far as your proportions and what you want to consume. Now, even if for the person that's in their 60s, it's still not too late to get on a healthy regimen as far as, you know, the type of foods you want to eat. Now, again, I would also stress to reduce the amount of red meat that you would consume on a daily basis. Just for the processing, it takes a lot longer for red meat to process in your system. You need the iron, protein that comes from it, but again, it's real hard to process in your body. As far as sweets, caffeine, even though caffeine, coffee is a natural diuretic, when you start to add in cream and sugar, it takes away from the properties that coffee actually has. Of course, eliminate pop and those energy drinks because they're not healthy for you as well. So, honestly, I would say try and eat more healthy, clean food, drink lots of water, natural juices as opposed to concentrated juices, and you should eventually see a change within anywhere from 2 weeks to a month's time. You should notice a difference in your body.
Now, what about sugars? A couple of my friends have basically managed sugar out of their diet by checking labels. So, of course, on the drinks is the fructose, the corn, toast, and some of the other things that are added to the juices. But also there are a lot of sugars in the other products. Is that something that you would support and recommend for people on a regular consciousness?
Yes. Also, I would stick to more natural sugars as opposed to your natural sugar as opposed to the processed sugar.
So what's a natural sugar, like brown sugar, for example?
Yes, brown sugars, for example. Honey as opposed to sugar. And just kind of be a little more conscious as far as your sweet intake, really.
Now there's a product, there's a plant product that people are replacing for sugar. I don't remember the name of it. Is that something that would be a natural, more natural than the, of course, than a refined sugar, I would say, right?
Yes. Yes, I would definitely agree.
Okay.
Well, this is great, Joanne. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Can you tell me, like, what a workout is like for you? Or if someone, no, here's a question. Here's a question. If a man, because this focuses on men, but if a man came to you and he was about 5'9", and maybe 250 pounds, would he be considered overweight?
Well, according to the national standards, yes, he would be.
Okay. And how much overweight would he be? I mean, just a, you know, in the ballpark, a ballpark figure.
Ballpark, 5'9", 250. I would have to say at least by 50 or 60 pounds. Now,
okay.
In consideration, race, just overall activity, because there are, for myself, I'm 6'3", and I'm 255, and fairly solid. Now, I'm quite sure my body fat is not, you know, it's average. But, again, I would probably be also considered overweight, basic to the American standard.
Okay. So how would you, if he came to you for assistance, what would you do? How would you get him started, and what would be his regular routine with you, as well as what would you advise him to do on his own?
Well, for me, the first thing, once we made sure that there were no physical ailments that would prevent him from working out, I would definitely start him off with a cardio-based workout. Then we would go right into calisthenics. A lesson that was taught to me a long time ago, I was able to bench press well over 450 pounds, but to have someone or to do, I don't know, 50 push-ups, I had a tough time doing because I couldn't manage my own body weight. So I had to redefine my workouts so I could do more body management, core stability. So I had an overall appearance and physical shape. Everything was improved just by changing my workout.
Okay, and then the second part of it is what would you recommend that he does on his own?
On his own, I would tell that individual to continue with the cardio, increase your cardio endurance so it can promote muscle endurance. At home, push-ups, squats, leg lunges, crunches, you know, go out for a walk. If, you know, a long walk, do a walk run, you know, ride your bike. Just kind of get active. So when you get into the gym and you start actually working out, it's a little easier.
Okay. Hold on one moment, please. Glenn, is there someone else? Other callers?
Yeah, there's another caller. Caller 312-949. Go ahead. You're on the air.
And I think there's another. Donald Jr. is on also.
Hello?
Larson?
Go ahead.
Yes,
hi,
hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, I'm doing okay. My name is Ulysses Lawson.
Yes, yeah, I'm right across from my brother. I am 43, and everything he talked about, I'm not a personal trainer, but just an average guy who believes in taking care of his body. Now, I used to play a lot of basketball. Some semi-pro ball and everything, and sustain a lot of injuries. And then when, I guess you could say, I hung up the sneakers, I started doing my own personal type of training, reading, studying on how to care for the body. Some of the things that I do now at 43, like my brother said, I do push-ups, I do crunches, I walk, I do some running now to take care of the body. It's very important that I do now. But, well, God, I can say it's probably been 30 years I've done this regimen. I probably could be a personal trainer to someone. I
I guess as far as like eating, I think eat the average. Some fast food. I don't eat a lot of fast food, but I think because of work, sometimes we tend to grab a quick bite and you eat McDonald's or Burger King, Wendy's, and all that kind of fatty contents. And as my brother stated, they do have a lot of chemicals and steroids pumped in them, and you can feel a difference when you eat compared to if I choose to eat a salad or something like that, what I call energy food. Something, I've been on this calorie kick, how many calories I should, my intake I take during the day. I've lessened it now. I drink a lot of water. Let's say I'm about 6'2", about 215, and I drink probably over 100 ounces of water a day. That's just to flush out my system and everything. As far as what he was talking about with his fasting and everything, his 3 days that he does, I think is very impressive. But being an average guy, that's something I know I probably wouldn't do. But eat properly, work out, like he said, is something you should do for your body to maintain. And being 43 now, is, you know, certain things I need to start doing more as far as getting checked out.
Like what, Donald?
Oh, basically, with my father, you know, getting the prostate checked out more, getting your blood checked more and everything. Things like that. You know, we're going in more for daily checkups. Because I think as, you know, as African-Americans, it's something we've always steered away from. You know, it's being afraid of going to the doctor and whatnot and, you know, feeling that, you know, we're invincible. Ah, that's something I don't need to do. So I don't need to do that, get checked a routine. But when we get up in age, then it's too late. But if I start now, you know, because they say when you turn 40, these are things you need to just start doing more regularly.
Okay, let me ask you a question there, since we're on that subject, and I think Lawson is on.
Yes, I am.
Okay, Glenn, Dorian, and Donald Jr. And please, you can answer this one at a time. Are you afraid to go to the doctor?
No, I'm not. This is Donald Jr. No, I'm not. I'm not afraid
to go to the doctor. Okay, Dorian?
No, I'm not afraid to go to the doctor either.
Okay. Lawson?
Absolutely not.
Okay, Glenn?
No, I'm not.
Okay, let me ask the next question. Have you been to the doctor this year?
Yes, I have.
Donald Jr., no, but I'm making an appointment to go.
Okay.
I'll probably be going within the next month. I'll be going. Be
okay, Dorian, what about you?
No, I haven't gone this year, but I will go. Actually, I'm planning to go either in August or September.
Okay. And Lawson, when are you going?
I'm going tomorrow for a physical, a full physical.
Okay. And Glenn?
I have not gone yet, and I will be going sometime between now and June.
Okay, great. That's good to hear. I wonder, you know, because I know last week Donald Senior was, you know, he was saying that he has asked all of his friends and his family members to go to the doctor. So I was just wondering, you know, had anybody just taken his recommendation and made that appointment? Or are you hesitant to make that appointment?
This is Donald Senior, and I have a special guest who I wanted really to come in and talk about also. If we possibly could, let him speak also. That's Mr. Lawson, and he's very much like Dorian and Donald and you guys about the body and the proper eating of the body. Mr. Lawson and I met a while back, and he brought a great deal of insight on taking care of the body. I'd like to hear from him, if that's possible.
Okay. So he's on, I think he's on, Donald.
Yeah?
On? Yeah, he's on,
Dan.
Hello?
Lawson, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, you said you would probably be going in August. Was that you who said August?
No. I said that I will be going tomorrow for a full.
Tomorrow morning. Okay.
Yes, tomorrow morning for a full physical.
Okay, and let me ask this question. When's the last time you had a physical?
I at least have a physical once a year.
Okay, around this time then.
Right, once a year.
Okay. Now, did you have, let me just let you speak.
In terms of?
Well, based on what Donald said, I thought there was something you all had talked about already.
Well,
so,
I mean, other than the fact that I know that Donald just had an operation in reference to his prostate, and I know that prostate is a very intricate part of a male libido, and I know that one out of three is going to be diagnosed with some type of prostate problem. And so consequently, with that in mind, one thing for sure is that in that physical, there is going to be a prostate test. And in that test, it's going to be physical. And it is going to be to the point of a finger that is going to be inserted into one's rectum in order to feel the prostate to make sure that it does not have any growths in it or growths on it. It is a almond-shaped organ that is very small, has very, very small veins, and so therefore it is a big problem, but a small, small organ. And consequently, with it comes a lot of problems with African-American males. But nevertheless, out of the PSA test that you have to take, and the finger that is inserted in order to check the prostate out, it is the checking of the prostate with the insertion of the finger that is going to give you more of an overall test of what is transpiring with the prostate, more so than what the PSA test is basically all about.
So what you're saying is that it's the actual physical examination that gives you more information than the PSA.
Yes, I mean in terms of looking for prostate cancer. I mean there are
mm-hmm.
different types of when you talk about as you continue to get older, the prostate is going to enlarge, but it is a rubbery type of organ, and when it begins to get hard, then it may indicate other problems that you may very well have with the prostate, such as an enlarged prostate or BPH. With the prostate or the enlargement or some other problem that may very well be with the prostate that is affecting the urethra that goes through the prostate and the pressure that it is putting there, which causes a person to have frequency of urination and different things during the night. And so consequently, other than prostate cancer, there are other things that is transpiring with the prostate as you begin to get older that a man has to look into.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm thinking about as I listen to you is that is the part of the exam that men don't particularly.
No. Not at all. For the simple reason that when that pressure is put on that prostate, and sometimes that pressure is very well needed for that prostate because it is going to stimulate that prostate in terms of the blood going through it because, like I said, there are very, very small veins that go through that. And when you have a problem with that prostate, if you have to take any type of antibiotics or anything of that nature to clear a problem up, then you have to take an influx of antibiotics because it's going to take an influx in order to get to the prostate because of the fact that it has very, very, very small veins that lead into the prostate.
Could you also share with some of the guests here about the things that you do at your age, which you happen to be a little bit older than I am, how you take care of your body.
Well, you know, but that stems with the quality of life that you're trying to have as you continue to move through life. I'd have to say that it is just not necessarily with the prostrate. It is a quality of life of optimum. Taking care of yourself doesn't guarantee that you're going to live forever, but what it does guarantee is that while you are here, whatever time that you are here, there is a optimum life that you would like to live. And being able to take care of your body, making sure that you cleanse yourself, detoxify. If you take your vehicle for a tune-up and you don't tune your body up and detoxify it and cleanse it out and help your nutrition get to your cells as well as your organs and get all these things cleaned out, then consequently it's going to affect you optimally as far as your health is concerned. And as you continue on, you know, it can begin to be a problem for you.
Okay, so how do you suggest that that occurs? Dorian spoke earlier about cleanses, you know, about the effect of cleanses on your body. When you say get everything cleaned out, what do you mean?
Well, when I say that, I'm saying that that the cells as well as the organs have to be detoxified because there is toxics in the air that you breathe, in the food that you eat, in the water that you drink. And so, therefore, psyllium husk, along with bentonite, cleanses the organs and pulls the toxics out of the organs as well as the cells, push them into the colon for you to eliminate. So that's what I mean by detoxifying, getting some of the poison out of the system that you have in your body from a detoxifying program. And then along with colonics and other things of that nature there to help cleanse the system, to get some of the waste out of the system.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you recommend or have you experienced an alternative physician versus a regular physician?
Well, that's what I go to. I go to an alternative doctor that believes in the basic medical terms, but also believe in alternative medicine. If you can get it done naturally, then that is the first step. But then if you cannot, then you turn to basic medicine. And that's what you want to do first of all, is to see if you can clear it up naturally. See if there's something there that will aid what you're trying to do on a natural end before you have to go up under the knife or go up under taking medication or things of that nature there, which is going to detoxify or toxify the system.
This is Glenn. How often would you do the colonics?
I would do the colonics personally myself. If I'm on a detoxification program, then I'm going to do a series. Say, for instance, I'm detoxifying for 6 weeks or something of that nature there. May very well be leading into something of a pure water fast, maybe a 5 or 10, 11-day pure water fast, because the body can't detoxify too fast, and so therefore you have to monitor your urine to make sure that the toxics are not being pulled out of each organ or too fast that it may very well cause a shock to the system. So therefore, if I'm doing a 6-week program, then once every 3 or 4 days, then I'm going to get a colon irrigation. And in that colon irrigation, I'm going to begin to pull out of the toxics out of the system, because you know that if you eat meat, it takes at least maybe 14 days before meat can go through the system. Vegetables and fruit go through the system in 1 day. So if there's a 14-day period that it takes from you to swallow some meat and 14 days before you eliminate it, but you're eating meat on a regular basis, then these, depending on the combination of foods that you're having, these are going to detoxify or toxify the system on a regular basis. So therefore, these things, if you're detoxifying, has to be pulled from the system. And there is 80% of your immune system is in your colon area. So therefore, it is about probiotics, making sure that the good bacteria is equivalent to the bad bacteria, which the system has a balance about it. So it's a process, and it's a very tedious process that you have to go through in order to make sure that you are taking care of your body in the absolute right manner. The body is going to crave the fat. It's going to crave the salt. It's going to crave the sweets, but you have to give it to it in the right manner. And cooked food really doesn't have any nutritional value in it. It is the live food that you eat on every day that has to deal with enzymes, that deals with the feeding of the cells, is what is going to give you the nutrition that the body truly needs. Cooked food is just comfort food for you. It's cooked and you like it. But there's not too much nutritional value in it.
Hold on 1 minute. I'm trying to see if I heard Dorian or Donald.
This is Donald. It's funny, Lawson had mentioned a colonic, and my wife used to, she does a colonic. And Glenn was wondering how often you do it. She would do it. She does it probably, well, I know last year she did quite a few of them, probably every 3 months just to clear out her system. Because as Lawson said, the meat takes so long, you know, to digest through your system, 14 days, which is right. And I know she would do it for diet purposes and everything. And it helped out. I mean, she felt great afterwards.
Well, it puts oxygen back into the system. But the colonic not only cleanses, but it also puts oxygen into the system that aids the different organs to be able to receive oxygen.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Yep. Along with water, along with, you know, your food intake as far as vegetables, fruits, and so forth.
Right. I mean, but there are implants that you can take.
Because you can remove too much from the body.
Yeah.
Quickly, you can damage yourself if you do too much.
Right. And some people, you know, and I've known some people that every 3-4 days or every 2-3 days, if they're cleansing, they have a colonic. But they also do the implants putting also some green into the system, like the spirulina or lyca in the meantime, the wheatgrass and things of that nature, which is going to give nutrition to the different organs.
You're right.
Well, it's interesting.
I drink a lot of grass with a little touch of like orange juice in it, just to clear out the system, and then it gave me energy. Oh, it felt really good.
Yeah.
You know, there's another school of thought, because there's a raw place here in Chicago with several of them, but I attended a class there about, I think it was in February sometime, and there's another school of thought that does not recommend colonics. Because it says that, hold on a minute, it says that colonics, and I'm trying to, well, I can't quote it exactly, but it was something about it only cleaning out a portion, I think, of the intestines, and I don't know if it was the small or large, but they were really not recommending colonics anymore, because they say they don't do what people think they do. So what they did recommend were cleanses, and I know one of the cleanses that is being highly recommended now is the Miracle Cleanse. And the reason, it sounds a lot like what you're saying, Lawson, and what a lot about like what Dorian was saying, the Miracle Cleanse, which is that the cleanse with the lemonade, the cayenne pepper, the maple syrup, the dark maple syrup, and water, and then you drink half your weight in ounces of water every day. That is supposed to be better than a colonic because it cleanses your blood and your cells. So the cravings and things that you have, which come from your blood and your cells, are supposed to be gotten rid of in this cleanse, through this cleanse. And so more and more, the nutritionists are recommending that cleanse versus colonics because of the procedure that you go through. Now, the other thing about it, like you're saying, every 3 or 4 days when you're on a particular program, you might have a colonic. But what happens with this is that you drink a tea with nothing in it, just the tea and hot water, and I think it's like a smooth move kind of tea, kind of a laxative tea at night, and then the next morning you drink what is called a bath. I can't think of what kind of bath it's called, but it's 32 ounces of water and 2 tablespoons of sea salt. It's a salt water bath. That's what they call it. And so overnight, the tea is supposed to break up everything, you know, that kind of loosened itself during the cleanse that day. And then the next morning you get up and you, first thing in the morning, you drink this 32 ounces of salt water. And it flushes you out in about 20 minutes so that everything, you know, that was broken up overnight, it comes out. Now, more and more nutritionists are recommending that versus colonics because, well, for some people it's just easier and it's a lot less expensive. And they say it just works better than having gallons of water pumped into you, you know, going up in you and then coming back out. So I've heard it kind of, you know, in the 80s and 90s, people were really pumping up these colonics, and now they're looking at that a different way. So have you heard any alternatives to colonics?
You know what, Henrietta?
Go right ahead, because I, you know, there's a rebuttal there, and I want to explain something to Reverend Henrietta Byrd here that that I can agree with that, but I can disagree with it also.
Okay.
But
go right ahead. Was that Donald?
It was Donald.
Donald Jr.
I saw studies on that also. And what you're talking about, Henry, I know Yvette, she tried that. And it's more like that's more like a diet, you know, to lose weight in a certain period of time. Because you're right, it goes down instead of coming up, and it flushes out the system. But one thing I know about the colonic, that helps clean out the colon well better. And that's what I meant earlier when I stated that, you know, you can't do it too often because it throws the system off. You need so many nutrition and so forth in your system. It's protein and what Dory was explaining earlier. You need certain things in your system.
I see.
So, and that's why. But what you're talking about, that system is more like a diet. Because I've heard of that, and Yvette has tried that, and it does work. I mean, they're right. They are correct. That is.
But in so many ways, it's part of a cleanse. That's when you take the bentonite and the psyllium husk and plenty of water, that is what's scrubbing down the walls of the colon, you know, in order to eliminate. So you have fecal matter that is impacted upon your colon that from the time of conception. And so, therefore, that bentonite, as well as that psyllium husk, is giving you the bulk that you need in order to scrub your colon down. And the lemon juice and the honey and the maple syrup, that's been done since they've been having. There's all different types of cleanses. Alvenia Fulton recommended that particular cleanse. What is the noise we're hearing? Hello?
Sorry, I don't know what's happening.
Hello?
That's because too many cell phones are too close.
Oh, okay, gosh, because it was in here. So therefore, I'm saying that the bentonite is going to pull the toxics out of the cells and out of the organs. And that what you're talking about, which is a lemon juice and maple syrup and so forth and so on, is going to help cleanse the system also. But the psyllium husk, along with the bentonite, is going to help cleanse that colon out. Now, the reason why you don't want to deal with a whole lot of colonics is because of the fact that there are probiotics that the lower intestine needs. You need to have an aura of good bacteria and bad bacteria. That is what basically helps with the immune system, because 80% of your immune system is in your colon area there. So that means that 20 or 30% is coming from different areas of your system. But that system of with the immune system being there, it has to make sure that it has the right balance of good and bad bacteria. But there are those that agree with colonics, and there are those that disagree with colonics. But, irregardless, I find it personally to work for a person also. It may be psychological. There are some that say don't, because I go to naturopaths. I go to also chiropractors. I also go. There are certain that like it. There are certain that don't. The body has the ability to cleanse itself, and you can stop. It can cleanse itself, and you may not very well, because as it cleanses itself, once the lower intestines become clean, there is still your small intestines where beyond the digestion of your stomach that has to clean. You got a lot of feet of colon there, and therefore the peristalsis contraction is what pushes the fecal matter waste through the small intestines and pushes it into the lower intestines in order for elimination.
Well, I think one thing we agree on is that all of that needs to come out.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a well-known fact. And it's a well-known fact. And what you do to break the fecal matter down from the walls of the colon in order to eliminate, because you have it there from the time that you were born, then that is what you want to do, for the simple reason when you eat your food, you want as much nutrition to absorb through that mucous membrane in order for your body to begin to have to get the nutrition, as well as heal itself. So as much waste as you can get out your system at any given time is better for you than no waste coming out at all.
Right. I got that. Let me go back to a conversation that Glenn and I were having earlier about organic versus inorganic. And one of the things, I think where we ended that discussion was that, I'm not really sure, but I heard someone say something about meat and the concern of what certain ate versus what others, and why it was so difficult, for meat to be digested.
Well, first of all, I would have to say that point blank, you are not meant to be a meat eater. You don't have fangs that tears meat up like an animal does. So therefore, you pretty much was a vegetarian. And so therefore, when it comes to the, because most animals that eat meat, they have a short colon. They don't have an elongated colon like we do have. And that's why it takes so long for meat to get through, processed through the body. But and meat is for protein. You don't need that much protein to live. You can get your protein from different legumes and beans and whole grains and rice and multigrains and so forth and so on. So you can get your protein. You don't need to just get it from meat. So therefore, when you talk about organic, I mean, you're going to get your most nutrition out of organic. There's some things that you don't need to eat, especially things that have hard shells like an avocado or something of that nature there. Well, it doesn't need to be organic. It has a hard shell, so therefore the absorption of pesticides and herbicides and different things of that nature there does not process through that. But then there are fruits and vegetables such as strawberries and blueberries or something like that. Then the herbicides as well as the pesticides and different things that go through that particular vegetable there, then it's best that you deal with something that has been dealt with on an organic manner. So, but you got to use your common sense basically about all of this in terms of being able to take care of yourself.
So if you had to pass information on to another generation, thank you, Doreen. If you had to pass information on, just, you know, if you were speaking to, a group of college graduates, a
right.
high school group of men, would you recommend that they not eat meat? Or is this?
I probably would. You know, I probably would. I would probably recommend that they get their protein from a different manner than what meat would be all about, because, like I said, that is what helps detoxify or toxify the system. And if it takes 14 days for meat to get through the system, maybe about 7 or 8 days for fish and poultry to get to the system, it still is setting up there. That so therefore, when you get the nutrient out of the meat or whatever it is that you're getting out, protein and so forth and on, that now there is toxics that have to come through the colon that's going to be in that system for roughly from 14 days to maybe 7 days before it eliminates. And if you're eating that on a regular basis, then you're constantly having toxics that's in the system. So therefore, you know, I would suggest that a person would not eat meat on a regular basis. I mean, there are some people that it takes a process to go from a omnivore, a person that eats any and everything, to become a vegetarian. And then from a vegetarian to becoming a person that eats live food or food that is uncooked, it takes a process. So it's a process there. But I'd have to say that the meat clogs the system up and have you congested. And as much as you can keep the meat out of the system, then the better off that I feel that you are personally myself.
Okay. Even, you know, even in your teens or in your 20s. So it doesn't matter. The age doesn't matter is what I'm asking.
No, age doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter at all because what I'm saying is that you can get protein from other foods.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Glenn, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still on. I've got a question about live foods. Like what? Now, what would you eat, like you're talking about like a raw carrot, you're talking about lettuce.
What I'm talking about raw. I'm talking about food that is prepared in the right manner that is raw. I'm not just talking about fruits and vegetables. I'm talking about foods that are protein, that is fat, that is has salt in it, that has sugar in it, or not just necessarily white sugar, but I'm saying foods that are prepared raw in a dinner-like manner that is going to be the right combinations of foods that is going to have the enzymes that is going to feed the cells, that's going to feed the organs to give you better nutritional value as well as better healing points.
So give me an example of what a meal would look like a dinner meal of live food would be.
Okay, then maybe some almond pate, that is some raw pate, some raw almonds that is soaked in water to the point where it becomes a completely a mash type of item that you're going to add
okay.
maybe some type of vegetables to that is going to be your protein. Then you're talking about some type of salad, where it's a carrot salad, where it is salad that is going to have different things in it, nuts and things of that nature there that is also live, something that may very well be prepared with turnips that is going to be with a different type of almonds or nuts that is ground down to have your such as your cashews, your almonds, your any type of nut that has been ground down. Also, there's a type of fruit salad that you can have with celery, the chickpeas, different things of that nature that are raw that have all of their enzymes in it. Anything that is cooked less than 116 degrees is considered to be raw and still have all the natural enzymes in it to be able to feed the different organs and the cells in the body.
Gotcha. Well, that's good.
So it just don't boil down to just a salad, and some fruit and vegetables. Meals that are prepared to give you a balanced diet.
So you had mentioned like soup, like a soup that wasn't on a high burner, but it just maybe like a low.
Not even the soup that you can prepare. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Rejuvelac. I don't know if you are familiar with the Rejuvelac, which is made from wheat berries, that is going to give you all of your B vitamins, which is basically a drink, some vitamin mineral that you can have that you prepare every morning, like a smoothie or a shake, the different type of wheatgrass. That is an antioxidant that is going to not only detoxify the system, but build the system up also. The different types of fresh vegetable juices that are such as carrots and your kale and your different type of green vegetables to build the system up. And that's what vegetables do. They build the system up, and fruit juices and fruit cleanses the system.
Now, would you consider juicing as a part of a live life?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, because you've not done anything to kill the nutritional value in the juice. You pull the nut with the enzymes. It's all about enzymes. It's all about enzymes, and it's all about being able to digest it.
Okay.
And as you continue to get a little older, then you begin to your system doesn't have the ability to digest food as properly as once upon a time. So then you add additives to help you digest your food.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's enzymes. It's all about the enzymes. That is what the body and the cells and the organs feed off of, is enzymes. And that's in natural food. That's in unprocessed food.
And you mentioned that there's also enzymes that you could buy as like a additives.
Yeah, absolutely. That you can buy some of those things, and that's for digestive purposes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's for digestive purposes, because as you get older, your body does not create digestive enzymes, and so therefore you're going to help your body by taking enzymes to help digest the food for the intake of your different organs as well as your cells.
So for example, my 84-year-old mom, that would help her system to have these kind of enzymes available to her.
Absolutely, because it will help process her food. When she takes her food and eats her food, and she's taking enzymes before and takes enzymes during the time that she's eating, and then enzymes as after, it's going to help the system digest the food and move it on through the system.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Lawson, thank you so much.
Lawson, I appreciate
you.
It.
I thought I would share some of this. Donald and I, we talk, and there are a lot of things that it seems when it comes to men that we are taboo in speaking about, such as the prostate, dysfunction, erectile dysfunction, and different things that plague men, that men do not have the support system such as the ladies do. The ladies will talk about any and everything. They will come on Oprah Winfrey and talk about everything from A to Z about the problems that they may very well be having with their body. But with men, it seems like it's taboo to talk about those things, and it shouldn't be. There should be that we should have a support system where men can begin to sit down and talk about the different things that are plaguing their body so that we can find answers to certain circumstances also. And that is one of the taboos that we need to come out of, whereas men talk about if they have to have a massage. No, I don't want anybody rubbing on me. But they don't realize that that has to do with health. Mm-hmm. So therefore, and there's nothing wrong with pampering yourself. There's nothing wrong with you having a massage. There's nothing wrong with you having acupuncture. There's nothing wrong with you getting a naturopathic treatment. There's nothing wrong with you getting a facial, trying to help exfoliate your skin, having a manicure or a pedicure to take the dead skin. After 28 days, the skin exfoliates. You need to get that old skin off of. You need to look the best that you can look too, just like the ladies do.
Okay. Well, look, Lawson, we'll be calling you back. We'll be calling you back again because we're in a conversation about a regular men's show. That's something that I always wanted to have, a regular, you know, show where men will have the, you know, have access to do exactly what you're talking about. But let me thank you again, you and Donald Senior, Donald Junior, Dorian, and Glenn. Thank you so much. We had a wonderful evening. We actually went 30 minutes longer this week than we normally do. But thank you so much for all of your input, and you're well studied. I noticed that when people really get into their health, they're really into their health, and they can tell you a lot more just based on their experiences, you know, than a lot of times, like, they find out from the doctor. You know, we had a gentleman on last week who advised the men to write questions down before they went to the doctor.
Absolutely. I concur without a
sure
doubt.
That they would get the answers that they needed.
Right.
But thank you so much. We're coming to the end, actually 30 minutes longer, to the end of the show. And I apologize because we have not mentioned the call-in number or anything tonight. We were just kind of into this conversation, so we apologize if there were people who needed the number. And actually, I'll give it now, 646-716-9827, because we do have about 8 more minutes and you can still call in if you'd like to. 646-716-9827. And this is On Track with Henrietta Byrd and Glenn Greenridge tonight. And it's the International Black Summit talk show. Just to remind you that we're here every Sunday at 7 o'clock. Central Time, 7 o'clock Central, 8 Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And the International Black Summit is a conversation that makes people aware of so much about themselves. We have an event, an annual event every year, and this year our annual event is being held in London, England. And we'd love for the people who've been on the show and the people who call in to join us in London. And you can register for the annual event at www.blacksummit.org, www.blacksummit.org. And you can find all the information that you need to know about the summit. You can also contact us through Blog Talk Radio. and let us know, you know, how you enjoyed the program. If you have any questions, and we can get back to you. There is a chat room that goes on during our show. We have other shows other than On Track. On Track is usually just the first week of every month, and what we do on this show is we just check in at different levels to see if you're focused on what you decided to do at the beginning of the year. You know how you make all the resolutions and, you know, all the promises and all of that. And the first Sunday in every month, we just check in and make sure that we're on track. And so this program tonight came out of our April On Track to see if men were staying on track with their health. And so we're very grateful to Donald Dupre Sr. for the idea to do this show for men, and as well as all of the people that he asked to come on and all the people who were on last week. And thank you to Glenn for starting us off tonight. I really appreciate that. The other shows that we have during the month are, one is called Vision Works. That's the third Sunday of every month. And then the fourth Sunday is called Let's Celebrate. And our host for that show travels to different places, and this month she's in between Belize and New Orleans, actually, so we will probably hear from her when she gets to New Orleans. Vision Works is another program just to show how people are fulfilling their vision in their communities and around the world. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, Glenn, the gentleman you've been speaking to, has a finance program, a wealth show, and it's every second and fourth Tuesday. And his show starts at 5:30 p.m. That's it. Glenn, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I have is 5:30 p.m. Central Time?
Correct, 5:30 to 7.
5:30 to 7, okay? And that's every second Tuesday and fourth Tuesday of every month.
And on the fourth Sunday, I actually have Man of the Month.
Man of the Month, right. That's what I was getting ready to say. So Glenn is one of our Sunday hosts also, but he also has a Tuesday program on wealth. But on the fourth Sunday of every month, he features one of our African American men, or men of African descent, I should say, those are really great shows. You might want to listen in. The men that are listening in tonight, you might want to listen in, because we feature some really great guys that are doing great work in their communities. And so, once again, my thanks to Lawson, Donald Jr., Donald Sr., Dorian, Glenn, for our show tonight on If I Knew Now, If I Knew Then What I Know Now. And basically, to sum it up, it was I would watch my meat intake, I would be healthy, my living would be a lot healthier through exercise and through eating and just putting a limit to the meat, the sugar, and the salt that I take in. I would drink lots of water. Donald Jr. recommended, well, he said he drank about 100 ounces of water a day. And so to drink lots of water, you know, to stay active, find a method that you or your doctor chooses for eliminating the waste, either through cleanses or colonics or whatever, you know, whatever you choose to do. But always seek a physician's, you know, go to a physician, a nutritionist, and doctors who do alternative medicine as well, just to be checked out. And as Donald Sr. would say, you know, get that checkup. You know, get that checkup. So, this is Reverend Henrietta Byrd, and I thank you so very much for all of your input. And we will see you next week, same time. at International Black Summit, and this is On Talk with Reverend Henrietta. Good night.